Tonight we're going to be in Luke chapter 23, if you'd like to turn there. We'll read verses 32 to 43. Luke 23, 32 to 43. Read together. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that are written down to bless us and to lead us into truth. And we pray, Lord, that during this short time talking about this passage, that you will do just that. Lead us to the truth to see our Savior. And may we see something of ourselves also here and a promise given to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Every ancient empire had their own way of striking fear into the hearts of those who would dare rebel against them. Crucifixion was Rome's. This was an agonizing, slow, very painful death that really didn't kill someone because of blood loss or anything like that. Usually the way that it worked is that it would asphyxiate its victims. They would eventually gasp for breath and not be able to catch it anymore and die. Most of these deaths took place on well-traveled paths. And it does seem that Jesus' crucifixion took place in that same way. We read in another gospel of those who were walking by that day and seeing Jesus wagged their heads in shame as they passed. And so most likely this took place on a well-worn path to town where many could have seen him. Women would have walked by, children would have walked by. Anybody traveling by would have witnessed Rome's brutality on that day. And on this particular day, the one who was being tortured to death was the Son of God. He was nailed with spikes to beams of wood and then propped up, an innocent man for sinners to stare at. And as we see here in Luke, for many people to jeer at, mock at, rail against. That's what Luke chooses to spend his time on as he describes the scene when Jesus died. He only makes short mention of the place where it happened. He simply calls it the place of the skull. That's it. And when it came to Jesus' death and how he died or how he would die, the way that he describes that is that there they crucified him. That's all. But he has plenty to say about the people who were there to watch it all. There was one group, the crowds. We're told that they were merely onlookers that day. Verse 35 calls these the people. It says they stood by simply observing it all. And inside that group, verse 49, Luke would say that these were Jesus' acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee. It would have included those people. So in this group, there would have been a number of people who were sympathetic to Jesus. They would have been the ones out there mourning and crying and distraught. Many of those people even loved him. We know that the Apostle John and Jesus' mother Mary were in that group themselves. But most of Luke's attention goes to the responses of others who were there that day. It was those who opposed Jesus that get the most of the description. In verse 35, we see the Jewish rulers who were told scoffed at him. Verse 36, there are the Roman soldiers who mocked him. In verse 39, one of the criminals who was next to Jesus railed at him. And so there at the cross, you've got scoffers, you have mockers, and railers. And what's interesting about each one of these groups is that they essentially say the same thing to Jesus. They say, if you are who everyone says you are, save yourself. The Jewish leaders question if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The Roman soldiers say, if you are the king of the Jews. The criminal then says, are you not the Christ? And they're almost within one voice. They say, save yourself. And Jesus heard all of this in extreme agony, because he was all of these things that they questioned, and he was more. It's as if one last time Satan speaks through all of these people, his earthly servants, mocking Jesus and in some way reveling in what he thought was his greatest victory, not knowing that it was his defeat. So we have to think to ourselves, if they say, save yourself, could Jesus have done so? Of course he could have. He could have commanded the spikes to move just as he had told the waves to be still. And then he could have shriveled that cross to the ground just like he did the fig tree. But the Lord knew that if he were to choose to save himself on that day, that there would be no salvation for others. Jesus did not come at his first coming to stay and to rule. He came to preach and to die, to give his life as a ransom for many, not just prove that he was the one. So we have to understand that love compelled Jesus to stay on the cross that day. It wasn't a lack of power. Love for the Father to do his will, what he had called his Son to do, and what Jesus willingly delighted to go and do. He loved his Father, so he stayed. But he also loved us. The people that he came on a mission to save, he loved us, his church. And that's what kept him there. So he stayed and took the shame, to the delight of everyone there that day who hated him. But there's one man here that's a little bit different. He had a different response to all that was going on that day. A man who was closer to the suffering than he wanted to be. It was the other criminal. And so while all of the other voices that Luke records there are jeering at Jesus, this man right here, he refuses to join in. And instead, he comes under conviction. He rightly understands that he and his fellow criminal are getting what they deserve for their sins. They are the ones that are guilty. But the man in the middle, he says, has done nothing wrong. And in verse 42, he makes the humblest and simplest of requests. He only asks that Jesus would remember him when he comes into his kingdom. He doesn't ask, like the other man, to take him down from the cross. He doesn't demand that Jesus save himself. He seems to understand that Jesus has the power to do both of these things, but won't do them, but has instead chosen to stay and die. And he acknowledges, amazingly, that Jesus has a kingdom that is beyond this world, a place where Jesus himself will soon be, and he simply wants to be remembered when Jesus gets there. And he asks in this moment for mercy and the remembrance of the King. And isn't this all that is really needed? That Jesus remember you with favor when he takes possession of his throne. If a man in our world, if he becomes something, if he comes out of nothing, becomes something, what often happens when he becomes something? He forgets all of those people that he left behind. But not Jesus. Jesus will not forget this man. This is their first meeting. But here, as they both are dying on a cross, Jesus still, in kindness and in love, gives this reply to him. He says, "Truly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise." Think of what Jesus is granting to this man in that moment. He is granting him a pardon. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords looks at him and grants him a pardon. Forgiveness, as he believes that Jesus is who he says he is. This man knows that he's going to die. He's on a cross. But at this moment, as Jesus utters those words to him, he can die in peace. It's the greatest word of assurance ever given to any man on earth, and it was spoken to a criminal who was being rightly crucified for his sin. Jesus granted forgiveness to him. While he was on the cross, he was dying for sinners, but there he offered cleansing to one more lost sheep before breathing his last. Luke only gives us a quick description of what happened on that day with the crowds, the mockers, the criminals. Why would he want us to hear about this particular man who was nailed next to Jesus? I think it's this. If there was hope for a condemned man like him, surely there is hope for a sinner like yourself. Jesus freely offered forgiveness and a place in his kingdom to this criminal. Will he not also offer the same to you? Maybe you've never believed. Maybe you've never really taken a good look at your dying Savior. Right now, will you look over at Jesus in his word, like this criminal, and ask the Lord to grant you mercy also, to pardon your sins, give you forgiveness, undeserved grace through what he has done on the cross. You deserve your sentence. This man understood that. I'm going to assume that you do too. But here Jesus, the innocent one, he stayed there joyfully, lovingly, willingly, to die in the place of a sinner like you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a moment tonight to pause in your word and just look at Jesus. Passages like this are easy to breeze through during the Easter season or really any other time of the year. Thank you for some time tonight to just see what was taking place there at the cross. There were mockers and scoffers and railers, and yet there was one man who looked over at Jesus, understanding that he deserved everything he got. And here was a man who did not deserve anything that he was getting. Why would this man, who had the ability to do amazing things, not come down from the cross? He must have understood in some way that Jesus wanted to stay and to die, and that he had a wonderful kingdom to go to beyond this world, and he simply wanted to be remembered by Christ and go there with him. And Jesus said, yes. Give us eyes tonight to see our Savior. If the promise was there for this criminal, the promise is there for us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.